Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast, Pittsburgh Steelers Training Camp 2017. It is Monday night, July 31st, last day of July, and Alex Cazor is back from St. Vincent College La Trobe to file his nightly recap, the fourth in a row. And Alex, the Steelers are off. I bet you're looking forward to not having to drive to La Trobe on Tuesday.
I am. It'll be a nice day off. And before I forget, Dave, I got to give credit because he's probably on his way home right now, getting home soon. Tim Rice, who's been taking photos for us, who was up for the first 4 days of camp, did amazing work. He actually might come back later this week, but he's done incredible work. So if you see him on Twitter or see his photos, be sure to thank him because he's doing some really good stuff for us.
Absolutely. And I made sure to post a special thanks to him on Twitter a little while ago before we hopped on this thing. Boy, he's Johnny on the spot too, you know, with some, you know, Juju practicing or, you know, going through limited, you know, individual drills. He had pictures of that. You name it, he's got it. He's taking some amazing shots. I will be posting what he took on today, Monday, Tuesday morning for folks to see. But yeah, if you get a chance, make sure to reach out on Tim. Invaluable resource. It's great to have pictures to go along with some words occasionally, and he's done that. I think that's two or three years in a row he's been taking pictures for us. So Tim, we love you, brother. We appreciate it as always. Alex, let's get right to it here. It seemed like another great practice for the Steelers at St. Vincent College. The weather looked to be cooperate with the team again today. And I guess before we go any further, we should kind of recap the injury list, which seems to grow by the day. Why don't you tell me people who did not practice today, and then I'll add on to those, the people who were dinged during the day.
Oh, man, I think the list of guys that didn't practice is as long as the number that did. But I'll go through the guys that did not practice at all today. James Conner and Golson, who Tomlin said were in Pittsburgh to get their injuries evaluated. Mitchell with his foot or ankle. Mitchell was at St. Vincent today, so I guess if Conner and Golson are elsewhere and Mitchell's still at St. Vincent, that's probably good news for him. Lavon Hooks, I wish someone would ask what's up with Lavon Hooks. Don't know what's going on there. He missed the fourth day in a row. Kim Sutton still out with that mysterious lower body. Vince Williams with the shoulder. Ramon Foster appeared to get the day off. B.J. Finney ran first team left guard.
Okay, Scott Orndorff, did he make it back today?
Yes. No, he did not. I should have mentioned that. He's out with that, hammy injury.
Okay, and boy, that's such a long list. And as we said, Juju Smith-Schuster, did he look good in individuals?
Yeah, it was the craziest thing because he didn't do anything in warm-ups and stuff like that, and then we saw him doing some light jogging and cutting on the middle field, and then all of a sudden the receivers are going through their individual work, and there's Juju, last guy in the group, going through almost at full speed. Now, I will say the one caveat to this, and I'll try to describe it as well and quickly as I can. The receivers were going through one of their routes where there was almost like a back and forth where they were cutting to the right, coach would take him to the left, take him to the right, left, you know, catch, finish the drill. And when Juju went through his drill, he only went to the left, and the coach just sent him through and made the catch. So I'm guessing he's still not totally comfortable cutting to his right. But the point is, there's some big progress being made with Juju Smith-Schuster, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him out on the field on Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll keep our fingers crossed with this day off. Maybe one more day of rest will be enough for him. If not, maybe he's able to return, you know, middle of the week. Friday night lights practice is next Friday, right? So
yeah, this upcoming Friday. Yep.
Right, so it'll be hopefully he can make it back in time for that. After practice was over, Mike Tomlin went over the list of players who failed to finish practice on Monday. That list included Landry Jones with some sort of an abdominal strain, Stephon Tuitt with an ankle. Oh, I hope we're not going to have Stephon Tuitt chasing an ankle off and on all season. Didn't he have one late last season, Stephon?
I think so. And there was another one 2 years ago that caused him to miss some time too.
That was a knee, I think. He had
That a knee?
sprained that knee, I think. I'm trying to remember late last season if it was an ankle with Tua or not. But
Okay,
my.
just real quick on Jones and Tua. They both hung out practice. Trainers weren't even near him, so I'm assuming those are minor things.
Okay, and then the other player, Ryan Shazier, heat-related illness. I guess taking that shirt off and not keeping him cool enough at times. But those were the three new ones today. As you mentioned, Connor and Cinquez Golson back in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin didn't shed any light as to when they may or may not return, so it's probably going to be a while on them. And boy, you hate to see what guys like Connor and Sutton. Missing this early time. You know, Mike Tomlin talks all the time about the moving train and all, and you just like to see those guys back sooner rather than later. And really, the same goes for Juju. I take it Keon Adams was back.
Yep, and Xavier Grimble, they went through fully.
All right, good deal. Okay, let's start on the offensive line. We're not, you know, we're going to try to blow through these and have you really go over things that stuck out. But I think the thing that stuck out first on Twitter with you and the offensive line this morning, Ethan Cooper's got some legs and some calves and some cankles.
Yeah, I don't know where the thighs end and the ankles begin. You saw the picture that Tim took. He's just he's a little fire hydrant. He's a squatty dude, but he plays with power. And even in some of the O-line D-line, when he was asked to mirror and move laterally, he actually did a pretty good job today. So when we talk about being high on Cooper and is one of the more intriguing undrafted free agents, that's kind of the reason why, because he's a big, sturdy frame dude that plays with leverage and power because he's 6'2", but also shows some athleticism, whether that's mirroring and sliding in pass protection or pulling and kicking guys out in space. So I think he's doing a nice job. Matt Filer's in a similar boat, isn't as rocked up the way that Cooper is, but he's a big dude that's put on some weight and I think shows strength and anchor against some of these bull rushers. So we can't forget about Matt Filer too, was on the practice squad last year, brief time on the 53 as a little tackle guard, versatility in his game.
I think BJ Finney caught your eye today.
Yeah, I like Finney's work today. I mean, there was one bad rep against Cam Hayward in team drills when he got Hayward swam over him and beat him pretty clean. But I just like his demeanor and the way he plays the game. He's a physical dude. He's got a nasty demeanor. He's a heady guy that finds work and finishes his plays with violence and authority. There was one play today. I was going to save it for the podcast, but I had to tweet it out going back to my notes because it made me laugh so much. I think it was Matakevich that came on an inside linebacker blitz, and Finney saw him, picked him up, and shoved him into Villanueva and TJ Watt, who were battling it out, and all three of those guys fell to the ground. Villanueva turtling around out there. I mean, just one big shove, and Finney knocks three NFL players down. That's some power and some authority.
All right, anything else catch your eye as far as maybe rotation wise or any performance wise with the offensive line?
Mike Matthews getting some more time at center. He's been playing guard and some center. It was just really Matthews and Finney getting a lot of the center work today. Pouncey's still first team, but with some of the, I'm trying to think what injury moves some of those guys around. But with some of the lines being changed up, with Foster being held out and stuff like that, bulk of the center work's been Matthews and BJ Finney.
Okay, and I guess we'll slide on out to tight ends. As you said, Grimble was back today. Looked like, or I read something, I think, on Steelers.com by Mike Prisuta that Jesse James got a scolding from Roethlisberger.
Did he for what, the seven shots play? Do you know the context behind it?
I'll have to pull it back up. I think something about maybe coming back to the football or something. I don't remember specifically.
Okay. Yeah, I think, I mean, it's kind of been a bland group. I mean, numbers are a little thin without Orndorff out there. And, David Johnson, you know what you have with him. But I think Jesse's been fairly steady. There was the seven shots, pass he couldn't finish with today, which I'm sure Roethlisberger wasn't the most pleased with. We've talked about James, where he's going to win his combative catches and red zone work. And first play, seven shots, he can't finish the play. Grimble, I want to keep seeing some big plays from him. quiet side for him, and that's kind of disappointing. And Odom, you know, to his credit, he's finishing practices, which is more than what a guy like Orndorff can say. But, you know, he's got his, obviously, blocking struggles that are pretty well documented at this point.
I have Pursuta's report pulled up here now, and it says, come on, Jesse, put it away, Roethlisberger hollered after the first pass of seven shots went into and then out of the grasp of James' hands in the back of the end zone. So, you know, I don't know if you heard David and I talking about the tight end groups this morning or whatnot, but boy, you know, look, Jesse's a guy that can catch you 50 you know, to 60 balls, you know, and but he's not a guy that obviously going to put up or going to be able to give the ability to stretch the field the way, you know, say a guy like Ladarius Green was able to do in his limited playing time. So you really hope Grimble can kind of be that piece, you know, in there to exploit, you know, situations down the middle of the field, especially when you have two tight end sets.
Sure, and for Jesse, because he's not going to be that guy, I heard you talking about that, Dave, and you're absolutely right about that. His mission is to make those tough catches, and, you know, today was a good example of that. Well, I think James has had a good camp and made some tough catches overall. That's a play, red zone, back to the end zone, that you certainly want to have. I was going to get to it a little bit later, but Sean Davis did make a good play to knock that football away. It wasn't a, you know, obvious drop or just a drop by James. I think Davis did a good job to bat that ball out.
All right, wide receivers. Tough day for Kobe Hamilton, I take it?
Yeah, you know, he's not a real good separator. Obviously, I think that's pretty much well known. And when you go in one-on-one drills against, you know, cornerbacks, which is tailored to the offense because it's just one-on-one. There's no linebacker safety help. There's no pass rush. The receiver should win most of the time. But by my count, Hamilton was 0-for-5, which is not a good place to be. Now, to be fair, there was some pushing and grabbing. I think Ducray and Hilton were maybe some holding a little bit. But, it, you know, when you're on an island like that as a corner, I'm okay. I think you can get away with a little bit of it. But, you know, Hamilton's a guy that we know what he is. But, you know, that's kind of the problem. We know what he is. And he's not a guy that's going to create much separation at the top of his route.
Eli, Mr. Consistency so far in camp?
I thought today was a pretty good day for Eli. It was relatively quiet the first 3 days in. I thought he made a couple nice plays today over the middle. And, you know, you just see his ability to sell routes and sell deep because he's not a 4-4 guy. He's like a 4-5 guy, but it's his ability to influence corners and get them thinking he's going to go vertical with the way he stems his route at the top that'll create space at the bottom. Now, there's still maybe a little bit of work to do with finishing his routes and not settling and running and, you know, running across and stuff like that. Him and Ben had a pretty good, like, 2-minute talk today during drills, which is pretty rare for that, you know, setting, going over something. So, you know, there's still some detail and nuance and kind of getting on the same page stuff that's happening, which is natural. It's fine. It's a good way to communicate through it. But, you know, I think Rodgers is having a good camp. And I haven't read the article yet, but I saw your headline, Dave, that Ben talked up Eli pretty good today. What did he talk about?
Yeah, he talked about, you know, how he worked with him during the offseason and how, you know, he likes the growth he's seen out of him so far. So definitely had a lot of praise for him and his work in his slot so far. And he said he's excited. He says Eli's not a rookie last year, but a rookie playing, first year playing, really did some good things last year. He came on strong late in the year. He went on to say that he spent time with him in the offseason with him individually looking at film and how he can get better. And saw a lot of growth about him, excited about the things he can bring in the slot. He goes on to describe Eli quickness, toughness, a guy that can get open against linebackers with his speed and quickness and can use his size. So definitely threw Eli a bone. You know, Ben's not one to really throw out, you know, pats on the back to people not named Antonio Brown. So, you know, I thought that was worth writing about this afternoon. Mm-hmm. A lot of people probably going to ask, why aren't you talking a lot about DeMarcus Ayers so far? So, you know, why don't you kind of recap the first 4 days of DeMarcus Ayers?
Yeah, it's been on the quiet side. You know, he's been running basically second team slot with, you know, Juju not getting reps, being out with that ankle injury. I mean, he looks good in one-on-ones, and you see, again, similar to Eli, the nuance in his route, the ability to stem and not lose speed out of the, you know, top of his breaks. But you do want to see a little bit of that translate to team drills and make some plays. I mean, he's had a couple catches, but nothing spectacular. It's not been bad. I'm really curious to see how he's going to do in a game on punt return, because we all know that's going to be his path to the roster. If he wants to really secure a roster spot, winning that punt return job, or at least proving he's about as good or at least serviceable enough to get AB off that unit, is going to be his ticket. So it's really tough to gauge that in this setting. And Aries is just a second-year guy, so he's not doing any rookie mistakes, in regards to that. So we'll have a better idea when that time comes.
The AB matchup still entertaining?
Yeah, it's been good, and Burns is getting better. And I'll give you the quick story that I tweeted out and wrote in the article. AB's still wins, obviously, the majority of reps against Burns. And so, in one of the one-on-ones, wide receiver DBs today, Burns actually went against Kobe Hamilton. So he got a break from AB at once. And I mean, Burns was all over Hamilton, leverages him to the sideline, gets his head around to the football, dropped the pass, but. I mean, that's why you go against AB every single practice. So when you face somebody else who's not the best receiver in the league, it feels like child's play, where you just feel comfortable, your technique's paid off, everything looks easier, the game slows down, and you go and just dominate a rep against Kobe Hamilton. So that's why iron sharpens iron. So when you take on somebody else, I mean, you're so much better off for it.
All right, Mike Tomlin seemed to be happy with the way the offense performed today during practice, and it sounded like the running backs had a good day. I'm sure it was a combination of the offensive line and the running backs, but why don't you recap that position group?
Yeah, the offensive line did a really good job today. Opened up some big lanes. I'm sure Mike Munchak is happy. And it got off to a bad start for the offense. They lost 7 shots, 5-2, but they kind of won it the rest of the way. Running backs, I don't have a ton to talk about. I thought all those guys, most of those guys had good runs, but I think a lot of that's credited to the offensive line. Now Davis showed some elusiveness. Toussaint getting upfield, finishing his runs. Trey Williams has some burst and some wiggle that's kind of interesting. And I think Terrell Watson is a guy that's a bigger back, about probably 230, 235, but ran really well coming out of college, carries his weight well, and has a little burst to his game. So there's not any plotter or any guy who looks completely out of place like we've seen in the past with some of these other running backs, the Cameron Stingleys, Jordan Halls, guys that we forget about. I think it's a pretty good group, relatively speaking, of course, top to bottom.
You think Tucson has a chance to wind up elsewhere, in the NFL if he winds up being cut?
Yeah, I think he's going to latch on somewhere in some capacity. You and David Todd had a good discussion today. My thing with Toussaint is just, where could he fit? I mean, Davis is not a lock to make this roster. He's got to prove himself as a kick returner. But if he can just show he's even marginally better than Toussaint, where does Toussaint fit? And I don't think there's any chance they're going to keep four running backs.
Who do you think is the better running back of the two? I mean, do you agree with me? Do you think Toussaint is?
I think they're better in different respects. I think Davis is the more explosive, elusive guy as both a runner and returner. And I think Toussaint's more of a detail, tighten the screws kind of guy. We can catch, he can block. He's going to obviously be better on the coverage unit. He got a lot of snaps last year running down kicks and punts. So it just depends on what you're looking for in the skill set and what you're looking for in the position, is going to give you that answer.
Do you agree that Niles has to really show something as a kick returner, though?
Yeah, I know. I totally agree. I mean, that's basically the number one reason why he was brought in, was to give some sort of, jolt to that unit that Toussaint could not do. So that's going to be a big thing for Davis. If he goes out there and struggles, misjudges some balls, and fumbles a couple away, then he's going to go the way of Jacoby Jones and get cut. If he has a couple really nice returns, he's probably going to make this team, and Toussaint's going to be out on the street. So I'll put it this way. I think now Davis controls his own destiny, but I have no idea what the outcome is going to be.
Okay, quarterback Ben Roethlisberger back at practice after an excused absence on Sunday. Ain't no sense breaking down Ben's game, but and Landry Jones left with an abdominal injury. I mean, let's kind of focus. I understand Dobbs had a better showing, perhaps maybe his best showing at camp so far. So let's focus on the quarterback position and Dobbs specifically.
It was by far, Dave, his best day of camp, and he's building, which is really exciting to see. The first 2 days of camp, they were pretty rocky, but he got better yesterday, and he played really well today. And I tweeted it out, and this is the thing I've talked about for Dobbs before camp started, and any rookie quarterback, really. It's not about one big wow throw. You have talent, there's no question about it. You can make wow throws. It's about snap-to-snap consistency, and I really think Dobbs showed that well today. He took advantage of the opportunity he had, expanded reps with Landry Jones, missing the latter half of practice today, and he was just consistent. The ball got out quick. He was making good decisions. He knew where the blitz was coming from, throwing away from the blitz, using his athleticism when he has to, throwing with timing, accuracy, and zip on the football. I thought he had a really nice day today. I've said before, Dave, I think he shows good command of the offense. He gets guys lined up in the right spots. Coaches aren't blowing the whistle dead. He gets out of the huddle quickly. I think he's been detail-oriented, and I think today it translated to some of those physical tools that he has on the field. So really, really nice day of work for Josh Dobbs. Some of the guys I was sitting with were talking him up pretty good as well, and we're all in agreement that, you know, he was impressive today.
You know what's going to happen during the preseason, even because, you know, the Steelers have, I mean, let's face it, you know, even guys like Marcus Tucker at the bottom of the wide receiver depth chart are you know, seem to be fairly capable guys. You got guys like DeMarcus Ayers and Co. You know, you got to find guys room for some of these guys to play late, and they're going to probably play with Dobbs in some of these games. And depending on how the offensive line holds up in front of them, Dobbs could potentially gets other furniture movers. You'll put up some decent number, probably have a 60-yard run or something along those lines. And Steelers Nation's going to go absolutely nuts if that happens.
I am going to put on my hard hat and brace for impact.
Because, you know, to me, just a scenario. Like I said, he should have some capable wide receivers out there and a decent back or two with some experience to, you know, to play later in some of these games. And if that offensive line holds up, Dobbs, we should expect Dobbs to shine in third-string situations, right?
Yeah, I think he'll do well. I don't think it's going to be a situation where the offense is totally bogged down like we've seen in a couple of years past and they're just not moving at all.
You mean with Dustin Vaughn and
I was trying to block out those names. I'm trying to repress them. You're bringing them back. Brendan Kay and guys like that. That'll be Bart Houston's job. He'll slow the offense down. But, you know, there'll be bad days are coming. He's going to make, you know, poor decisions and bad plays, Dobbs will. But I think you're going to see a different tone to the offense than we've seen in the past.
In reality, though, is there even a reason to give Bart Houston snaps? I mean, shouldn't they try to get Dobbs as many as they can?
Well, I mean, Dobbs is getting plenty of reps, and, you know, Houston was third team, so you kind of run with the order. Third team still gets some chances. It's clear that Dobbs and Houston, even though they're both rookies, are in two very different places right now.
What have you? Has Houston taken enough reps where you've been able to see maybe some of his strengths at all, or has it just been just so few and far between? I mean, does he have the arm?
The arm's not bad. He's got enough reps because, you know, Ben missed yesterday, so Houston played third team, and back half of today, Houston was third team, so he's gotten the reps. He's occasionally shined and shown some zip on the football and some placement to end practice. Yesterday, Sunday, he ended it with a really nice corner flag route throw to Marcus Tucker, but the ball placement, the accuracy is so spotty, so inconsistent. He's very much the definition of a fourth quarterback.
All right, let's start on the backside of the defense, being as how we usually save that last and for last, and then run through it quickly. Let's spend some time on the safeties and the cornerbacks who are there.
Yeah, I mean, the safety group, I mean, they're a little nondescript in the sense that you know what you have with most of these guys. I did like Sean Davis making that breakup in the end zone to Jesse James in seven shots. I've stressed that so much with Sean Davis that you have to become a playmaker. This team hasn't had a playmaking strong safety, which is such a linchpin to this defense since Troy retired. And so to see Davis play the pocket and, you know, go up and meet Jesse James at the catch point and finish that rep and forced the incompletion, that was encouraging to see. The other guys, you know, Jordan Dangerfield had his couple big hits today. Robert Golden, the steady tackler. Jacob Higgins, you know, improved, and he's, you know, I think comfortable out there. And Tarish Webb and Malik Golden are still running third-team safety. So, you know, the starting four are set. I mean, there's not really much of a discussion about it, and I think, you know, hopefully Davis continues to improve.
You know, Higgins been around long enough now, he should know what he's doing, at least. You know,
yeah.
You know, the execution though is a different story, and reading he's gonna be interesting. The guy, you know, he obviously probably has a shot. I mean, is he number five right now where you'd say, boy, Hagan really looking good for the practice squad?
Yeah, I would say so, because I don't know who else I would go with for practice squad safety. Your other options are Malik Golden and Tarish Webb, so I think Hagan's the leader right now.
All right, cornerback, Mike Hilton making any waves whatsoever?
Yeah, I think he's having a really solid, you know, first 4 days, which is, according to all the beat guys that were there for spring work, a continuation of what he did in OTAs and minicamp. A guy that's physical, will play the run, good press technique, even though he is only 5'8", probably a 180, 185. He does a nice job to get a good two-hand jam at the line, get in the hip pocket, open his hips, and turn and run downfield. So I think he's continuing to show what he reportedly showed in the spring work. Other guys that are lesser known, Brandon Dixon, Greg Ducray, I thought held their own in one-on-one drills, which again are very skewed for the offense. It's a tough life for a corner to be on an island like that. It's not a real replication of what's going to happen in an NFL game, where I thought they kind of held their own today. Other guys that had good days, you know, Artie Burns, like I said, I think continues to show improvement, continues to show some confidence, and you know, I think that it's clear he's comfortable out there and is excited to take on that challenge to face AB. And then Ross Garkwell and Justin Hunter are having good battles too. That kind of gets overshadowed, of course, by the AB on AB crime that happens every day. But other Cockrell had, I think, two breakups on Justin Hunter today in team sessions. And Cody Sensabaugh had, I think, two or three breakups today as well. So it was a good day for the corner group, you know, all things considered.
Cody moving around any?
No, just second team right corner, as far as I can tell. Maybe a left a little bit, but nothing in the slot.
So nothing in the slot. So it's been, it was Golson running second team behind Gay. And now it's, well, and obviously Sutton's out. So I guess Hilton, is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. Hilton's been the second team slot corner from the word go, because whenever Golson was healthy, it was him as a second team left corner and Hilton in the slot. And Golson was playing some slot with the third team. So really, I guess in the depth chart for the slot, it's been Gay, Hilton, and heck, I'm not even sure who's in the slot right now with Golson out. It's probably just been more Hilton.
Wow. So is that something to keep an eye on? The longer, I mean, obviously with Sutton, who knows when Sutton's going to be back, and Golson the same, you know, Hilton has the time now, or and should have the reps, and definitely going to be a guy that you wrote about quite a bit right before training camp opened.
And when you see a guy like Brian Allen, who's showing how raw he is, I'm not saying Allen's not going to make the roster. We're 4 days into this thing. I'm not ready to say anything about anybody. But when you see a guy like Allen that is not, you know, is having his struggles, that's going to give Hilton even a little better odds.
Did Allen have a nice interception today, though?
He did, to end receiver DB reps. He was able to turn around, find the football, and go back to his receiver background, high point the football, and finish the play. But there was one play where he was in phase downfield on a go ball, I think, for Marcus Tucker, but he looked back at the football. And, you know, Dave, what happens when you look back for the football? It's not coming to you, and Allen's not college anymore. He doesn't have the ability to use his length and athleticism just to recover and finish the play with the length that he has, and the ball dropped into Tucker for a touchdown. So, you know, Allen's been a little slow getting out of his break, getting turned around by some double moves and guys that can sell their routes. It's going to be a work in progress for Allen. I'm not sour on him at all. I'm excited about the draft pick, but he's raw, and it's showing.
All right, Mattekevich still taking advantage of first-team snaps with Vince. Vince Williams going to be one mad you-know-what come time. 2 days of hit, and he's not involved in it so far, but it's getting Mattekevich a lot of work. Recap the inside linebacker.
Yeah, Medikevich was solid. Shazier had a nice breakup. LJ Fort, another breakup. That came in seven shots, too. Toussaint ran a corner route on a smash concept, that curl corner combination, and Fort came out of nowhere and batted the football away. I heard you talking up LJ Fort today, and I think you're right. We got to talk about LJ Fort's name a little bit more.
Probably do, you know, and you and I think hit on that a little bit as well, too. You know, maybe underselling him. Maybe he's not as far outside. Heck, he might even be inside the bubble now, for all we know, especially if they keep five inside linebackers. You know, the Steelers normally like to keep, I think, right around 10. As we mentioned, somebody's got to play special teams in there, and I think it'd be a surprise if they kept 11 in total. But if they kept five, you'd have to think right now that L.J. Fort's got as good a shot as any. One guy we're not hearing a lot about, Kelsey. Anything to him? Just not getting the reps or what?
Yeah, I mean, reps are obviously tough when you're running third team. He's running next to Matt Galambos. I haven't seen a whole lot. Nothing terrible, but nothing that got me super excited either. I think he's going to be a practice squad material.
When we talking not a lot of reps, you know, are we talking 4, 5, 7?
Maybe in an entire practice? Is that what you're referencing?
Yeah.
I don't know the exact number, 10 maybe, you know, some of the injuries, you know, no Vince kind of helps get Steven Johnson in there with the second team, so there's no rotation for the inside guys. I don't have an exact number. I'd say maybe 10 reps in team session or practice.
All right, edge rushers, Chickalo, Dupree, Watt.
Not a whole lot of updates there. Watt and Villanueva keep having their battles, and Watt's still struggling to beat Villanueva. I think maybe in the first four practices, I've given him one win that I've seen against Villy. That's fine. It's going to be a work in progress. Watt's still showing the ability elsewhere against other guys and in other situations. Football IQ does a nice job of trying to finish plays and punch the football out. I bet you anything, Dave, he's going to get a forced fumble on a running back in a preseason game because he has the mentality of finish the play and knock the football out. But Ville buried him pretty good today, the top of the arc, and Tomlin even called him out and said, like, way to go, Ville or something like that. Watt's getting his welcome to the rook moment every time he faces Alejandro Villanueva.
What about an update on Moats and Dupree?
I mean, Moats is a crafty guy, so when you get into, O-line, D-line, one-on-one work, he can set up his rushes, and he's got a good arsenal, well, for some of these younger tackles. Not expecting to get a speed bull rush, probably still his best move. Dupree and Gilbert have good battles, so, again, that's another kind of AB battle that we don't talk about because it's not as sexy, but, Gilbert is such an athlete and is able to run Dupree up the arc a lot. But I think Dupree's doing fine. He looks comfortable in coverage. He's making a couple plays in coverage too, which is nice to see.
Is Keon Adams mostly on when he is getting reps mostly on the right side?
Correct. I did see him at least one rep at left outside linebacker today. He dropped into coverage and tried to almost batted a ball down, but didn't. So it's interesting. The rookies, at least to me, it feels like the rookies are being asked to do more and are having more put on their plate than in years past. I don't know if that's intentional, it was a planned thing, or if that's going back to Colbert's hearts and smarts, where you have guys with good effort, attention to detail, and football IQ that's allowing them to do more than maybe other rookie classes in the past.
Chickalo, is he switching sides pretty regularly, or is he lining up on one more than the other? And most of his time normally is spent on the left side.
You're right. For the first 3 days, it was really, I think, second team Moats left outside, Chickalo right outside. Today they flipped, at least for one team session that I saw, and it was Chickalo left and Moats right. And we've seen both play both sides in the past, so it's not a huge shock. But, just trying to get reps everywhere because you don't know where they're going to come. Dupree, I imagine, is going to play, 80 to 90% of their reps this year. And obviously, you have your split on the right side, but an injury could change everything. So you got to have those guys versatile and be ready to come in, whenever that time is needed.
All right, let's wrap it up with some defensive line. And Tunch Ilkin during the Steelers live broadcast today said Tyson Alualu reminds him a lot of Kimo von Ohlhofen. That's a little bit before your time, I think. Where do you stand on where Alualu is right now?
Well, Kimo's kind of right on the border. I mean, Carson Palmer better watch out if Alualu's the next Von Ohlhofen. I thought he had a really good practice today, probably his best one, and he got first team left defensive end reps with Tuitt, dinged up by that ankle injury. He snuffed out one end around to Justin Hunter and ended a tackle for loss from LJ Ford. Alualu even beat DeCastro in one-on-one today, had a really good punch, got DeCastro's inside hip open and beat him to the inside. So I think that's going to be one of the better free agent signings of this offseason for Pittsburgh, and definitely the best defensive end this team has signed off the street the last 3 years. Cam Thomas, which, I mean, duh, but Cam Thomas, and even better than Ricardo Matthews.
Anything stick out scheme-wise to you yet? I mean, is it just pretty vanilla right now, or anything that makes you go, oh?
Nothing that makes me really go, oh. You're still seeing that over front where they'll shift the defensive line to the strength and have the off-ball linebacker that makes it basically look like a 4-3 set. More blitzes. I've been seeing some of the fire zones, so those are not going away. I'm sorry if you hate zone defense and zone coverage, but Keith Butler is still running plenty of fire zones and some cat blitzes too, which actually is an interesting wrinkle. You're seeing some more, outside corners that come in on a rush, which are fairly uncommon for Pittsburgh. The other scheme thing, I'm glad you mentioned it, Dave, offensively I've seen in the red zone for those seven shots, a lot of empty sets, a lot of times with the running back being split out wide, the tight end being, not in a three-point stance standing up. Could you see that in the red zone? Is that one idea the Steelers have to try to fix some of their red zone goal line woes, is to go five wide, spread things out, create island matchups, and let the talent that they have, because the talent on offense is so great for Pittsburgh, win out? I think that might be coming this year.
You seeing some staple RPOs? What else? I think you said you saw a dart today.
A couple RPOs, not a ton, but you might get more. That's stuff that Ben can do. And I don't know if you want to give too many RPOs to Dobbs and Bart Houston to start things off. I saw a dart today. I was out of shotgun, which I think is kind of uncommon. Usually they do that under center. I saw one pistol formation, which made me a little giddy today. I've been talking about this team needing to run some pistol. It was Dobbs doing it, not Roethlisberger. But we'll see if that get incorporated more into this offense. So you've seen some of the staples, the Hank concepts, the smash, slot fade, stuff that, we've seen Haley do before. They ran a bubble screen today to Marcus Ayers. So some old, some new, which is what you're going to expect this time of year.
All right. Boy, we're already, 34 minutes into this thing. But
I'm sorry. I talk and talk and talk.
I do too. But, I mean, look, we don't have any practice to cover, tomorrow. So people can listen to this all day tomorrow if they want. So hopefully they'll have time. Give me a couple plays that stuck out to you today.
A couple plays that stuck out. I think, again, the Artie Burns against Hamilton stuck out. I know it was just one-on-one work, but it just, you take what you learn going against AB every single day and you apply it to someone else that's a lesser receiver, and the game just feels so much easier. And I think you already see in such a short span those first 4 days that work pay off. BJ Finney just destroying the entire left side of the line by running over Medikevich and running over Villanueva and Watt, sending them all to the ground. That was pretty funny to see. Ethan Cooper had a nice pancake block on Roy Filon today. Alualu's punch and win against David DeCastro was nice. Jake Rogers did a couple nice jobs to seal his guy up the edge. Jake Rogers, the left tackle, running third team there. I'm trying to think of another big notable play to check out. I think just Josh Dobbs' consistency and just how steady he looks. I guess I don't have one particular play to talk about. I'm going to go through tonight or tomorrow, Dave, and see how many passes he completed. He completed most of them, and I think two that were incomplete were drops. So Hobbs had a really nice day.
Would you call what happened Monday the offense's best performance of camp so far?
Would you go that far?
Okay.
I would, yeah. And I think it's also, because Tomlin's talked about this in the past. When Ben is there, even if he's not practicing, well, I guess if he's he has to practice. But when Ben is there, when he's in pads, the offense kind of gets another level and gets a jolt. Yesterday, no Ben. Offense was kind of at a lull. I think the defense won yesterday. Ben returns today. And obviously, Ben being Ben helps. But just his presence, I think, makes everything else, the intensity level go up and the offense does better.
Maybe we'll start the complete winners and losers on Wednesday when they return to practice. But we've been doing who's wearing the L. So who's wearing the L on Monday?
The L today's got to be Kobe Hamilton, where you see some of these other receivers step up and separate and are really crisp route runners. I know that's not really Hamilton's game. He's a bigger guy, a Z-type receiver. But you go 0 for 5 and you get passes broken up to you against by Brandon Dixon, Mike Hilton, Greg Ducray. It's a deep wide receiver group. I don't have to tell him. I don't have to tell you that. And it's going to be a tough climb for a guy like Kobe to make the 53.
All right. Great stuff as usual. I look forward. People don't realize you post your recap and then we immediately get on the podcast. I don't even have time to read it. So I have to read what you wrote after we record this. So have to fly blind through these. But certainly a great job. I know you're going to enjoy the day sitting around in mom's basement and eating Tortino pizza. Pizza.
Living the dream.
Yeah, you are. You don't have a wife either. Okay, folks, until, let's see, David Todd and I will be back Wednesday morning with a podcast, and then Alex, when he returns back from La Trobe on Wednesday, will file another one of these training camp recaps. It'll be day practice 5 for the Steelers on Wednesday. Please remember that they are off on Tuesday. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast.